This is part B of trusting in God's strength, power, and might. Now let's come to Psalm 37. And here is a perfect psalm that tells us what we need to do every day. Or we could re-entitle this, How a Christian Can Survive in a World Where the Wicked Prosper and Exalt Themselves. Okay, verse 1. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Don't get all upset. Don't be frustrated. And do not be envious against the workers of iniquity. Just watch them. Their day is coming. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. In other words, always consider the end. Verse 3, trust in the Lord, always, daily, all the time, and do good. Dwell in the land and cherish faithfulness. Now you see what it is here. God gives us positive, faithful, righteous things to do, which gives us trust in Him. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. The Lord delights in us. We delight in the Lord, in His way, in His truth, in His righteousness, in His goodness, in His strength, in His might, in His power. See? And He shall give you the desires of your heart. Not the lust, the good desires of what is right. And here's how you do it. Commit your way unto the Lord. That's why every day when you pray, you say, Lord, I commit myself into your hands. Watch over me. Help me. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Whatever it is that we ask of God, He will bring it to pass, provided that we always put it in God's hands to do it, and we are doing the will of God, and are not led away with emotions, wild thoughts, jealousy, greed, any of those things. We just ask God to help us keep our focus. Verse 6, and He shall bring forth your righteousness like the light, and your judgment like the noonday. In other words, in times of difficulty and darkness and things, you will be able to see where you're going, if we can put it that way spiritually. Rest in the Lord. Not in your own self, not in your own strength, not in your own thoughts, not in your own ways. And wait patiently for Him. Because God is also going to try us and prove us, so we wait patiently for Him, see. Do not fret yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of him who carries out wicked schemes. And they're on every hand today, aren't they? Yes, they are. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Now, you see, what God is doing here, He's giving us the instruction on how that we control our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, by committing our way to Him. See? Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret yourself. So there we have it three times. Do not fret yourself. It leads only to evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. So always think of the end result first, inheriting the earth. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now you can read the rest of it. That's quite a psalm, and showing how that you need to trust in God at all times. Comment was made, verse 7 makes you think of Bernie Madoff and many of his ilk, because there were many of it. And also, you can add something much bigger than that. The Central Bank of the United States. The Federal Reserve Bank. Good comment was made. Verse 8 reminds you of listening to talk radio. You can get mad, you can get angry. You're all upset about it. And is it going to change anything? You know, Jim and I were commenting yesterday as he was leaving. Said, well, looks like the majority is way out ahead of us now. And I said, yeah. Said, it sure is. I said, I wonder if we're going to get minority welfare rights. See? No? See? Now think of it. In spite of all of the so-called right-wing talk show hosts and television station or two that does that, who won the election? A good lesson. Why? Because we have passed the tipping point, and they know it. And they know that it is tipped in their favor. And it will never recover itself again, because every illegal immigrant is a vote. So much for trying to correct things with political means. That's why we need to trust in God. And in the power of God to do it for us and be with us in all of these things. Okay, now since we're here in the book of Psalms, let's come here to Psalm 68. Oop, let's stop at Psalm 62 on the way to Psalm 68 first. Psalm 62, page 731. Let's just start right in verse 1. Only for the Lord does my soul wait in silence. From Him comes my salvation. Now notice, this is what you could call single-mindedness and singleness in purpose, right? Yes. He only is my rock and salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be greatly removed. There again, not greatly removed in your, you know, fighting your own human nature and thoughts, you might be moved away a little bit for a short time. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. You shall be like a bowing wall and as a tottering fence. Surely they have plotted to cast him down from his great height. They delight in lies. Now this is probably cast God down from his great height. That's what Satan wants to do. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. And whenever you have Selah, that means stop, think, and meditate on this. Meaning, take these words, think about them, think of examples in your real life, day-to-day real life, and apply them. See? Now notice, verse 5. My soul, wait in silence for God alone, for from Him comes my hope. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my strong tower. I shall not be moved. And of course, everything is today compromise, compromise, compromise. No, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and glory. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Verse 8, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. So we have Selah again. Think on this in comparison, you see. How we wait for God, trust in God, look to God for everything. And it shows pouring out your heart before Him in prayer. with feeling, with emotion, with supplication, with asking God to intervene. Now compare this again. Verse 9. Surely men of low degree are a vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. When weighed in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Now you can tie that in with Isaiah 40, where God says, all the nations to him are as a drop in the bucket. So when you see all of these things going on, remember, this is exactly what is happening. Now notice verse 10. If riches increase, hopefully they will, do not set your heart upon them. Or if they decrease, don't set your heart upon them either. Either way. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you give to every man according to his work. So there again we have it. This is how we survive in the world. And with the political landscape and the religious landscape the way it is, there it's laid out right before us. All right, let's go on. Now let's come to Psalm 68. That's where we were headed in the first place. Psalm 68. Let's pick it up here in verse 32. Page 734. All right, here's how God will use his power to help us and strengthen us. And one thing we need to do, too, is ask God to fill us with his Spirit. Now let's come back here to Matthew 7, please. Matthew 7. And let's pick it up here beginning in verse 7. Now here's a promise that God gives. Ask, and it shall be given to you. We ask according to God's will. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, who if his son shall ask for bread, will give him a stone, or if he ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? Therefore, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And of course, the greatest thing and the most important thing is the Spirit of God. Now, let's come back here to Psalm 68, verse 32. And notice what he's going to do. Verse 32. Sing unto God, O you kingdoms of earth. Now this is when the whole world is under the reign of Christ and the saints. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah, to him who rides upon the heaven of heavens, which are of old. Lo, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe power to God. His majesty is over Israel. His strength is in the clouds. O God, you are awesome from your holy sanctuary. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God. Think of that. And receiving the power of the Holy Spirit is the most important thing. Now let's look at it from a point of view of salvation. How the Apostle Peter wrote of this in the Epistle of 1 Peter. Let's come back to the New Testament again. The Epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 1, page 1130. Now notice how he shows it here and how our lives are. And again, looking to God to strengthen us and be with us in everything. Let's just start right here in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect strangers in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the predetermined knowledge of God the Father. Never forget that. When you're in the middle of a trial, it's so easy to forget that God the Father has chosen you, God the Father has called you, Jesus Christ has said that you come to the Father through Him, so Christ is involved. He is our high priest. He shed His blood. He's our Savior, etc., etc., see. Through the Father, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now notice what he writes about here, and how he writes it. He starts out showing the goal. And again, when you're studying through the Bible, I want you to think about the ultimate goal, the kingdom of God, the way to get there, how we're living now, the power to get there through Christ and God the Father, and then we look at the difficulties that we go through and understand that there's a reason and purpose for them. Let's begin here, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're going to be changed from flesh to spirit. And the older you get, the more that means. I can tell you that. And the weaker that you get as your body becomes more decrepit because of age or whatever, the more you look forward to a glorious, perfect spiritual body. Unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, reserved in heaven for us. Christ is going to bring it when He comes. Who are being safeguarded by the power of God. This is what we're talking about, the power of God, through His Holy Spirit. Safeguarded through the power of God, through faith, for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. All right, there he set the stage. In this you yourselves greatly rejoice, though for the present, if it is necessary, you are in distress for a little while by various trials. And in many cases, it seems like it's every day. Okay? In order, here's what that does, that the proving of your faith. That's what it's for. Now, if we look at every trial and every difficulty that comes along with this in mind, it's for the proving of our faith. Now that we have a problem, now that we have a difficulty, what are we going to do? How am I going to handle this? How is it going to be done? Okay? Because the proving of our faith, which he writes here, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is being tested by fire, even a difficult trial. Now you can tie that in with Revelation, the third chapter, where Jesus said, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. Okay? Verse 7 ties right in that. We need to have that in a marginal reference, but you can put it in your notes there. Revelation 3. That your faith may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, because you trusted in Him. Now notice, here's the key, verse 8, whom not having seen, you love. Now that has got to be a tremendous spiritual blessing, that you love God and you love Jesus Christ. Now, as I mentioned in a sermon previously, is they're doing a lot of testing on the mind. And so they wanted to find out what happens when a person prays. So they hook them up with all of these sensors on the brain to find out what happens, because when you're thinking, your brain works, the blood is going, there's activity in the brain and so forth. And they don't understand about the spirit of man, and they don't understand about the spirit of God. But nevertheless, they hooked all of these things up there, and when a person prayed, certain part of their brain got very active because the blood flow went there. So in other words, you're directing your thoughts and they're going to a certain place. Now the question is that the connection that God has with us, with His Spirit, so when we pray, because something happens when we pray, doesn't it? Spiritually, our prayers go to God, don't they? And spiritually, we are told that the Spirit itself intercedes for us, making groanings which we cannot utter. In other words, it is also translated into the language that goes to God. Now, for all of you who believe in sacred names, think on that for a little bit. All right. Romans 8 tells us that. So, I wonder what the brain of someone who is converted and has the Spirit of God connected, fused with their spirit, I wonder what happens to the blood flow in their brain at that particular place when they're really praying to God in faith. Because, see, you add all of these things together. The love of God, the faith of God, the belief in God, the trust in God, the hope in God, and all of those things are spiritually, how should we say, empowering to us when we are looking to God. Okay? In order that the proving of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is being tested by fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though at the present time you do not see him, you believe and rejoice with unspeakable joy, being filled with glory. Now, sometimes we reach the unspeakableness, but, and the joy, but being filled with glory, that's not going to happen till the resurrection. But we will be. And are receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Very important. So all of that helps us draw close to God, you see. And this, in the world, they have the power of positive thinking and the downward pull of negative thinking. They've got it about half right. This is not positive thinking. This is powerful spiritual thinking when we understand it, see. And this is why we're all going through what we're going through, and we need to look at it this way. Whenever there are problems and difficulties, people turn to God. They know that. God knows that. So, as Jesus said, look out at the harvest. It is white unto harvest. Now, how many people are going to turn to God? How many people are going to find God because of all the difficulties that they're going through? We don't know. Whatever part we can have in that, whatever part the other churches of God have in that, I hope we have a part in it. How it turns out, we'll have to wait and see. All right, now let's come back here to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Psalm 66, page 732, verse 1. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. That's for everybody who can sing and can't sing. All the earth, sing forth the honor of His name, make His praises glorious. Say unto God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies submit themselves in obedience to You. All the earth shall worship You. So don't feel as though, well, I'm just out here all alone. Remember, the day is coming, all the earth is going to worship God, and you're going to have a part in that. And shall sing to You, they shall sing praises to Your name, Selah. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right, now let's come here to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Let's begin right here in verse 1. I will sing, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. You see, when we go to God and pray like this, then what are our minds doing? It's looking to God. We are giving God the praise and honor and glory, and when we do, and then get down to talking about our difficulties and problems that come along, then we have them in right perspective in relationship to God. And that's how you can set aside all the difficulties that happened yesterday. Because yesterday's done and over. And fretting about it today isn't going to change what happened yesterday. So this is how you get the right perspective. And then you make the best of today, and you go on from there. Ask God to help you. Get your mind on Him. See? Notice. In the day when I cried, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. In other words, when you're done praying, you get up and you have the strength of God through His Spirit in you. Yes. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Now this gets into the millennium and all of that sort of thing there. All right. Now let's come back here. Let's see. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will give me life. You shall stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me. Now here's the key verse that I want to come to, verse 8. The Lord will perfect His work in me. See, because the most important thing going on in your life is the work that God is doing within you. Not the problems and difficulties that you face day to day. All of those things that we face day to day is part of how God is going to perfect His work in us, you see. Your steadfast love, O God, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your own hands. And we are the work of God's hands. Think of that. God is working in our lives spiritually. Now, let me just give you an example of how that can work. How many have a cell phone? Almost everyone does today. Or BlackBerry or whatever. I don't have a cell phone. Or BlackBerry. However, when the phone rings, how much power is used? Very little. Just a small bit, because it comes in on a frequency. And when you pick it up and speak, it goes back out, and you can talk to someone wherever they are in the world, all with a little bit of wattage. And I heard an amazing thing. One of those satellites that went out into the universe that they expected to last just maybe a few years. I think it was the one that went to one of the first ones that went to Mars. Hey, and the battery was still working. Everything was still working. Then it went to Jupiter, and it was still working. Then it went to Saturn, and it was still working. And then it went beyond Saturn to Uranus, and it was still working. And now it's going out into space, who knows where. And it finally gave out. But you know how much power those radio signals, sending back the pictures and sending back the information, the temperature, the speed, and all of that. You know how much power was used? It came in on a frequency. a 9-volt battery comes to my mind. Clear out there in space, way out there, billions of miles away. It took years and years and years for that satellite to get on out there. Comment was made, must have had the Duracell bunny on that satellite. But the point I want to make is this, is that God is doing a work in us with His Spirit, which we can liken unto electricity. Because electricity is power, and it doesn't take, like a bolt of lightning. Well, sometimes it may. But it's unseen, it's unheard, but God is working in your mind to do it, and He is doing His work, which the world does not know, because it's going on in your mind. Now, let's come back here to Ephesians, the second chapter, and let's see that. Ephesians, the second chapter. So let's make this relevant. Let's begin right here in verse 1 and see the flow of how this goes. Let's see from where we started, and we will see where we are at and where we are going right here in chapter 2. Verse 1, now you were dead in trespasses and sins. And all of us have inherited in us what? The law of death, the law of sin. Is that not correct? Yes, we do. Called human nature and death. In which you walked in times past, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. Because, see, there's also another power out there working to lead people into sin, who is Satan the devil. And he does it with the lust of the eyes and so forth, as we will see here, verse 3. Among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the mind, by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Now Satan today has more helpers than he's ever had in the history of the world. All the media, cell phones, iPods, books, magazines, movies, television, electronic games. He's got all the governments in the palm of his hand. He's got all of the media in the palm of his hand, except the very little. He's got all of the movies, movie stars, and all of the idols that people look at. The internet, yes, and all the teachers, and religion, and business, and government. Think of that. They're all on his side, see? That's why we need the power of God. Now, within that, there is some good, there is some evil, there are people who try to be good and things like that. But you see, God hasn't called them. So here we are, just the few that God has chosen. So we really have Satan and the world against us. No wonder we have troubles and difficulties that we've got to fight every day. But God is for us, and He's greater than all of that, you see. Notice, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. For you have been saved by grace. Now we have been saved from Satan the devil, from our sins, and from the world. Have been, provided you've been baptized, received the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we are being saved constantly by living in the gospel and the word of God. And the third step is we shall be saved from death when Christ returns, and we are part of the first resurrection. All right? verse 6. And he has raised us up together and caused us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, not quite yet, but having the Holy Spirit of God now. So here's when we're going to sit in the heavenly places, so that in the ages that are coming, that's when we will sit in them. We'll have a new name. We don't know what size of throne we will have, but somewhere we will have the seat of authority, whatever that may be. In the ages that are coming, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And I look forward to the sea of glass, because I think it's going to be one great whooping celebration for all. The final victory. Okay? Now notice, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that is of your own, so that no one may boast. Here's the key thing, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. God is working and molding us through all of these difficulties. And if we understand it, maybe we can move just a little closer to what the Apostle Paul wrote, that he rejoiced in tribulation. Now, it's hard to come to that point, but if you can see the perspective, that through it, God is molding and giving us character, and we are the workmanship of his hand, see? Like we read back there, perfect your good work. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So what is going on in your heart, your mind, and your spirit is the greatest work of God. He is creating the mind of Christ in you. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now what are those good works? Loving God, having the faith of God, the hope of God, the goodness of God, keeping his commandments and so forth, that God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. Walk in the way of life that comes from God. All right. Now let's finish right here in chapter 1. Now if you really, I think that Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and we have a series on it entitled Paul's Inspirational Epistles. And I gave Ephesians and the Feast of Tabernacles quite a few years ago. And I did an amplified translation of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. So if you want that, be sure and request it. You can email us, you can phone us, or you can write us. All right, verse 15. All right. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. For this cause, everything leading up to it here, how God has called us and blessed us and made us acceptable in Christ and so forth. For this cause, I also, after hearing of the faith in the Lord Jesus that is among you, and the love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now here's the key thing. Notice what he prayed for, because when you pray for this, then all of the other things fall in line. That's the key thing. That's why it's important to have the priorities first. So when the other things become trouble and difficulty and distress, you can always come back to the key thing and get your perspective. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And may the eyes of your mind be enlightened, a spiritual change in perspective and understanding that comes from God, in order that you may comprehend. God wants us to know. It's not a blind faith. It is not a stupid faith. It is one that we are to comprehend what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, co-heirs with Christ, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Though we might interject in parentheses, we only need 9 volts today, Lord. And it'll get the work done. Actually, we need more than that. Okay? Toward us who believe according to the inner working of his mighty power, so his workmanship can be done within us, you see, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above every principality and authority that is on the earth and in heaven, and power and lordship and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. For he has subordinated all things under his feet, and has given him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all. And this is how we are to trust in the strength and power and might of God, and let him work his work in you through his Spirit. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.